1988, 30 years she's been here. She told me that when Pastor Stevens was in the pulpit on a Wednesday night, that was the first night she was here. So she has been here since Pastor Stevens was the lead pastor that Wednesday night, and she's been here ever since. And many of you might know, but she was in children's ministry for 15 years. She led it, she headed it up, and she loved it. She had a passion for it. She still loves children. But for 15 years, she was our children's director here at First Open Bible. And she's told me many stories about that, where it grew from just a little bit into a lot. And she would just ask God every week. She didn't have curriculum at the time. She just said, God, what do you have for the children today? And God would always provide every single week. And not only that, it was anointed, it was directed, and God blessed it, and it just grew and grew and grew. She's been a Christian her whole life, even as a child. And I love this fact. She loved Jesus so much. And so you get to that point where you love God so much, you must do something to give back. And at 12 years old, she started serving, and she served ever since. She's never stopped serving. One of the things that she's done here at First Open Bible for 25 years, she's been in charge of flowers. We used to have lots of flowers here. She would rearrange them, arrange them, get new ones. That was her ministry. She made this place so much more pretty. And as you can tell, she might want to do it again because I might ugly it up a little bit. So keep making it pretty, girl. Will you please welcome Miss Rita Collins?
Thank you, sweetheart. Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. I'll say it again, happy Mother's Day, ladies. Before we get rolling, I have a little announcement. I think it kind of went by the wayside, nobody even noticed it, but happy anniversary. Pastor and Sarah have been here 2 years. I adore this couple. I love this couple. I love serving under this couple. I love watching him. Watch him sometimes. I watch loving him as a father and a husband. I love watching him worship. If you've ever watched Harris worship, there's nobody in this sanctuary but Harris and God when he goes into that mode. I love watching him altar call. One of the things that I love the most about him is that he preaches a pure message. There is nothing diluted. There is nothing slightly about it. It is a pure message from God. He takes the time to research it, to study it, before he ever brings it to you. But the thing I think that just tugs at my heart is when he discusses the lost, and I see tears begin to come. And I see a pain inside him because he wants everyone to know Jesus Christ. And I would be remiss if I did not, on Mother's Day, mention the little woman who stands alongside of him. She is known as Pastor's wife. That's not who she is, people. That is her job, and she does it beautifully. She's had to fill the shoes of women like Sharon Stevens. A pastor's wife has to be on 24/7. She has to have a smile on her face every day and a heart open for compassion. She never knows who's going to come around the corner and need her. She is not just a wife. She is a pastor's wife. And I applaud you, my love. You are my friend, my sister in Christ. You are my pastor's wife. Thank you both so much for 2 marvelous years, and I'm so excited about the next years to come. At this point, you're probably asking yourself, what is this crazy old woman doing up there? And you'd probably be surprised to know I got up this morning and I stepped out of the shower and I got in front of the mirror and I said the same thing. What were you thinking when you said yes? But something has happened in my life in the last 2 years. I've always been a Christian. I have been raised by Christian women who were devoted. Women who taught me not only that you had to believe, but you had to have a passion for Jesus Christ. And I found that early in my life. There have been times I've stepped away from it, but I became hungry and I came back again. But as I began one morning I got up and I went into prayer, and something's been tugging at my heart, And I finally said it. Is this it, God? Am I at the end of the rope? I was almost 70 years old, and I said, am I done? Are you done with me? And I prayed a prayer that I've prayed many times, but I have never prayed it in as much earnest as I did that morning. I said, I don't think it's too late. Take me, Lord, and use me. Just a side note, folks, when you pray that prayer, hang on to your hat. You're about to take the ride of your life. Seniors, I challenge you. It's not over. Get out there and pray that prayer. God, use me. He took me and he turned me upside down. We won't go into a lot of the murals, but I, for those of you that are new with us, there is a movement of God going on in this basement. He has had me painting down there. Sarah asked me to paint a wall, and something happened, and it's still happening. And it's beautiful. I go down there to paint, and it's not me. It is the hand of God. That's what happens when you say, Lord, use me. But then something else really strange started happening, and I didn't understand it. I have taught most of my life, like Pastor said, from the age 12, and I've always understood his voice. I've always understood where he wanted me to be and what he wanted me to teach. But 2 years ago, he began pouring something out. I always keep a tablet and a pencil at the side of my bed because he will wake me up generally about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it's a quick phrase and I'll jot it down. Sometimes we sit and talk for hours. And I began to see something emerging, and I wasn't clear on it because I wasn't teaching. I had no ministry here at that time. Children's ministry had waned for me, and I had left it. I wasn't in any form of adult ministry. And so I was confused. Here's a message that I know is forming, and there's no place to teach it. So I just kind of held back and kept writing my notes. And then one day, Pastor called, and he said, will you teach on a Sunday night? I thought, bingo, there it is. So I got ready. Lord said, nope, this is what you're teaching. Okay. A couple months went by. Pastor said, will you teach again on a Monday or Sunday night? I said, be happy to. Lord, nope. Gave him something else. And this went on for a year and a half. I was confused. What is this for? The last time I preached was in October of last year, and I preached on self-righteousness. And when I finished, I asked Josh to put on a video of Lauren Daigle's, just to kind of pull everything together, to kind of bring the mood down into prayer. And I stepped off to the side, to the stairs, and I just went into prayer, and I thanked the Lord for being there, for showing me what he wanted done that night, and that quickly he spoke. And all he said was Mother's Day. And I said, of course. Everything about what you've been pouring out for 2 years is earmarked for Mother's Day. And I thought, why didn't I see that? And then a cold chill ran up my spine. I realized that there is no Sunday evening service on Mother's Day. There's a lot more of you here than normally. And I said, are you sure? Are you sure, Father, is this really what I'm hearing? So the next morning I got up bright and early and I headed straight for Pastor Harris's office. I have always had a routine of when God pours out, I ask for confirmation. And he has always been good to produce that confirmation for me. So I ran to Pastor Harris and I said, Pastor, this is what's been happening. He never said a word. He was quiet and he just stood there and looked at me. Because this is not a pulpit for an unpapered pastor. This is for serious worship. And I knew that. To have him give me this pulpit on a Sunday morning was huge. And he turned to Sherry and he said, put her down for Mother's Day. We have a pastor that trusts. We have a pastor that hears the voice of God. So that's how this crazy old woman landed in your lap this morning. It's been a long time unfolding. But one of the things he was pouring out that entire 2 years was the fact that there is not just one. There are two, mother and child. You can't have one without the other. Can't be a mother without a child. You can't have the birth, gone through the birth system without a mother. And it's a bond that God has created that is unlike anything else we know. She will literally lay her life down for that child. She knows nothing more than to be a warrior. So as all of this was unfolding, I was as amazed as you are. When I was almost 5 years old, my mother came to me and sat me down and she said, "You're about to receive a marvelous surprise." And I knew what it was. I'd seen it in the Sears and Roebuck catalog. That's how old I am, Sears and Roebuck. And she said, "It'll be here in a few months." Well, my birthday was coming, so I knew what it was. I had seen this dollhouse in the catalog, and it was amazing, like nothing else I'd ever seen. It had little windows that went up and down, had a little door that opened and closed. It had a toilet with a lid that opened. This thing was state of the art, and I knew that's what she was talking about. My birthday was coming up. My birthday came. I got some nice gifts, but no dollhouse. But Christmas was right around the corner, so it must have been Christmas. Christmas came, got some nice gifts, no dollhouse. It was just about the end of January when I got up one morning and my mom and dad were gone and my grandma was there. That's the greatest thing can happen to a kid. You wake up, mom and dad have disappeared and grandma's there. We had a ball for 3 days. We made cookies every day. We had pancakes every morning. We walked to the park every day. It was wonderful. Almost forgot about the dollhouse. And then 3 days later, mom and dad came back with him. My mom said he was my baby brother. She said his name was Gregory. She said, "He was my surprise." I said, "No, thank you." "Take him back." They said, "That's not an option." But after a few weeks, he kind of grew on me, and I liked him. But then something began to happen in the house. I was too young to understand. There was chaos at times. There was a bit rushing back and forth. Grandma didn't leave. She stayed. Sometimes Gregory would turn a funny shade of blue. And Mom would scoop him up and she'd hit him on the back. He'd take a big gulp of air and turn pink again. Something was happening and I didn't understand. Sometimes Mom would cry. She'd take him into the nursery and she'd shush me out. And I'd hear her rocking him and I'd hear her cry. We didn't know what it was in those days. Today it has a name. It's called epilepsy. And my baby brother was fighting for his life. But my mother was raised a Christian woman. My grandmother was raised by a Christian woman. And these women stood strong. They were warriors. And no matter what came down the pike, Christ would get them through it. And it was no different for my mother. No matter how hard the struggle was with Gregory, I never saw her waver. Her faith stayed strong. Along about the time Gregory got to be about 4 or 5, it was obvious there had been too many seizures. There had been too many times without oxygen, too many missed seizures. And we realized that Gregory was challenged. But Mother, once again, wasn't going to have any part of it. There were times the school system would say, "We need to hold him back, he's slow." Mom would say, "No, you let him go at his own pace. He will accomplish what he can accomplish." And she stood firm on that. Mom had always taught me about the warriors, the women of the Bible that were strong, that stood on their faith for the Lord. Women like Hannah. Hannah prayed. She was barren and God had not touched her, And she was so frustrated, so angry. God, why have I not had a child? And she said, God, give me a child, give me a son, and I will give him back to you. God was faithful, and Hannah was faithful. When Samuel was born, she gave him to Eli to be raised in the priesthood. Hannah did not see her baby but once a year for all of his life. I don't think I could do it. She taught me about Jochebed. That name might not even ring a bell for some of you. She's kind of obscure, but she changed the face of Israel. At that time, Israel was in bondage, and the Pharaoh had made a decree that there were too many Israelites, so he decided it was time to kill off a few. Jochebed was a brand new mama with a little baby boy. She took a basket and she covered in pitch, and she put her baby in the Nile River. That baby was Moses. Don't think I could have done that. And if that wasn't enough, he was given back to her until he was weaned, and then she gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter again. And she stood the rest of her life, and she watched him raised in the Egyptian ways, in the Egyptian temples, by total strangers, not by blood. She was a warrior. Don't think I could have done it. And then on Easter Sunday, every Easter Sunday, my head and my spirit go to Christ. That's where it belongs, his sacrifice, his death. But my heart goes to Mary. I have to ask myself every Easter, did she know anything? Scripture's not clear. Did she know? Did her son sit her down? Did he say, Mama, something tough is coming down the road? Did she have any ideas? What Scripture does tell us is that she is at the foot of the cross. Her baby has been beaten, tormented, ridiculed, and now he's hanging on a cross. She stands. The followers have fled. The disciples have all but disappeared. And she stands. She stands and she watches the blood of her child hit the ground. I couldn't have done that one. These were warriors, and my mother was no different. It was about... She was about 80 at the time when the doctors had diagnosed Mom with congestive heart failure. And she was the one that made the decision to close up the house and go into assisted living. And so we all came home, and when you've been in a household for, I think she'd been in that house 30 years, there was so much to be done. So we began what we called the three-bag dance. You know what it is. Three black garbage bags on the floor. One's for keeping, one's for giving away, one's for throwing away. And you just start pulling stuff out of the closet and the drawers. Gonna keep this, gonna throw this away. That was a three-bag dance, we called it. And I put my sister-in-laws in each one of the bedrooms, going through drawers and closets. I put my brothers in the garage, going through Dad's tools and equipment. And I put Mom on the little red stool in the kitchen, let her go through all of the drawers. I just kind of flitted around from room to room, seeing if they needed anything and helping out. I came around the corner and Mom was sitting on the stool going through things, and she had the old wooden spoon in her hand. You know the old wooden spoon, every kitchen's got one. They've been used for everything from making a cake to holding up the kitchen window. They generally have teeth marks in them because every kid in the family's teethed on it. And this one was no different. But this spoon was never to leave the front of the drawer. She had to get it to it at a moment's notice. It was what she used to put between Gregory's teeth with every seizure that came along. My mom was a warrior, and she stood pat, but her days of being a warrior were drawing to a close. My brother had finally had his medication regulated, and he was seizure-free. Gregory had married. He had three children, and to this day still has the same job he has had for 40 years. This was a young man who was challenged, who has now laid almost all of the highway across Canada. He drives that enormous big wheel that you see. My brother was challenged, but my mother said, "There's nothing you can't do." And she stood strong on that. I was raised by Christian women, every one of whom had a plaque in their house. It was the same plaque. My grandmother's was hand-embroidered. It was Joshua 24:15. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." My mother's was a china plate. Mine is kind of a beat-up old piece of clay. And Pam's is a little placard with blue flowers on it. I was taught to stand on that. Anyone that came into my home would know that I stood for Jesus Christ. My mother's days were difficult, but not impossible. Things have changed, though. The biggest fear my mother ever had was polio, and that was that her child would be afflicted with polio. That had since been eradicated, but our warriors today, our mothers today, are in a totally different boat. Today, our mothers face things like autism, schizophrenia, bipolarism, juvenile diabetes, leukemia, cancers of every size, shape, and form. And if that isn't enough, the devil throws at them two of his best in drug and alcohol addiction. Our mothers today have to be warriors. They have to fight to protect their children. And then one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life begins to unfold in this sanctuary on a regular basis. I think sometimes it even goes unnoticed. But she comes, the warrior. She comes here. She finds her way to the altar. She kneels and she buries her face in this carpet, because the load has gotten too heavy. Pastor spoke about it in his prayer this morning. She can't carry it anymore, so she comes here. She falls on her face and she cries out to Christ. But the most beautiful thing is yet to unfold. As she's up here, they come. They come from the back, they come from the sides, they come from the middle. They are other warriors. They are other mothers who know what she is carrying. They know what she has to bear, and they know she can't do it alone. So they come and they surround her. They pour out love. They stand alone with her, and they lift her up. They cry with her, and they pray with her. They are there for her. This doesn't happen in every church, folks. I've been in a lot of them. This is a church that is blessed to know how to pray with one another. One of the greatest things I own is a Bible. Not just because it's the Word of God, but because I'm dependent on it. I've read it from cover to cover 3 times. Every time it's been different. But one of the things that God has shown me in the last 2 years, scientists, archaeologists, all kinds of experts will tell you this is an amazing book. It will give you so much information. It's a history book. It's an atlas. It's a genealogy of the Israelite people. It is so many things. It'll teach you how to keep your books and do your accounting. It will teach you how to cook properly and even lose a few pounds. It will teach you how to save your marriage. But most important, God has shown me in the last 2 years, it is a love letter. It is a love letter from a father to his children. It is a love letter from the maker of the universe to you. It is a love letter from my father to me. I guarantee you, if you read it in that context, you will never look at the Bible again in that same context. And my Bible has taught me that there are no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. So if you wrestle today because you possibly did not have the perfect mother, that she maybe wasn't there all the time, that you didn't feel she was good enough, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. There may be pain involved in your relationship, but there are no mistakes. The God of the universe, who put every star exactly where he wanted it, every planet spinning exactly where it was to be, put you, the seed, inside of the womb of the woman you call mother. Let us pray. Father, this morning we come to you, some with heavy hearts, some warriors who have been beaten and battered and bruised, and they don't quite understand. Please, Father, come with them, help them. Lord, lift them up. But for those of us, Lord, that know you, that see you on a daily basis, Father, and that we're crying out as well, Lord, please, use me. Take me and use me. It's not too late. Lord, help them. Help them to see clearly exactly where you want them to be and what you want them to do. Father, I just love and adore you. I thank you so much for Mother's Day. I thank you so much for what you've given us in this sanctuary on a daily basis. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we have no hope. Father, bless each and every one of these families today. Take them out, Lord. Have each person take their mother out to lunch or dinner. Buy her gifts, roses, candy, whatever it is, Father. But take the time, Lord, to tell her we love her. Father, if the mother is not here, we ask that they will call. Tell their mothers they miss them, they appreciate them, they love them. But most of all, Father, I want to take this time to thank you. To thank you for personally loving me and putting me exactly where you wanted me to be. In your precious and holy name. Amen.
Roll it. To my mind today, thinking about the funny ways you make me laugh. And yet I feel like it's okay to cry with you. Something about just being with you. When I leave, I feel like I've been near God. And that's the way it ought to be, yeah. 'Cause you've been more than a friend. Over my life, and you'll never know what it means to me just to know you've been on your knees for me. Oh, you have blessed my life more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, 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 more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had faith when I had none. You prayed God would bring me a brand new song. When I didn't think I could find the strength to sing. And all the while, I'm hoping that I'll do the kind of praying for you that you've done for me. 'Cause that's the way it ought to be, yeah. 'Cause you've been more than a friend to me. You fight off my enemies. You have spoken truth over my life. And you'll never know what it means to me just to know you've been on your knees for me. Oh, you have blessed my life more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, 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 more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, 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 you've carried me, you've taken upon a burden that wasn't your own. May the blessing return to you. Over my life. And you'll never know what it means to me just to know you've been on your knees for me. Oh, you have blessed my life more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, 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 more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. Yeah, 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 more than you'll ever know. Oh, oh. More than you'll ever know.